Jonathan, welcome back to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Very well. You've got an exciting week ahead, a little more pressure on you than usual, as you'll be stepping up from the Concertmaster's chair to perform as soloist in Brahms' D major violin concerto. What a difference a few feet makes. How do you prepare for that kind of a role change?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it's surprising the difference it makes, even like standing up and sitting down. It's a weird thing, but everything feels different when you're performing standing there. And, you know, I get used to playing an orchestra where I sit all the time, and then suddenly I get up on stage and I have to stand there for about 3 minutes before I even come in. And I never know what to do. And I was like, well, what should I be balancing on? Which foot should I be leaning on? It's really funny. I mean, luckily, this is a piece I've played a lot. It was maybe the first major concerto that I did a lot with orchestra, because I was given the opportunity to perform it and tour it with the Victoria Symphony when I was about 15 or 16 as a kid. And so that was really great, just to play it 10 times in a row and, you know, hopefully get to know it by then.
Wow. Yeah, I understand, you know, this is one of the pillars of the violin concerto repertoire. I have been told it's one of the most technically difficult. Is that true?
Yeah, I'd say it's one of the most kind of, it needs the most stamina too, because it's technically difficult, but it's also just written in a way that it's very hard to project. And it's such beautiful, great orchestra writing, but often the orchestra will have the main tune and I'll be doing this kind of filigree and this technical stuff that needs to kind of come through on an equal footing. I think the first reviewer referred to it as a concerto for violin against orchestra or something like this.
Right. It seems so typical of Brahms, just a little insider thing there. But, you know, in his chamber music too, balance was often an issue.
Yeah, it's almost like he's working in this perfect world that he's writing the perfect music and then like the mundane technical issues. He's like, well, I'll leave that to you. It's for you to figure that out. And he's working on a different plane. And it does feel like that, right? It's like such perfect music, the way it's crafted, the way it all fits together. It's incredible.
I was going to say, you know, it is one of my favorites and I could wax on for ages about how great it is, but I did want to get your take on what makes this such a magnificent piece of music.
I think, in a way, it's for me, the surprises. Nothing is what you expect, right? You're used to a classical concerto, so you think the orchestra is going to play the introduction and then the violinist will come in and do the same thing, right? And so the orchestra starts with this beautiful tune in D major, builds up through the tutti. When I come in, it's like this 8-bar massive build up to where I come in this huge D minor section that really has nothing to do with what the orchestra did. And then from there, it winds down for about 2 minutes until I finally get the main tune. And it's just such a shock. I imagine hearing it for the first time and I'd be like, wow, where did this come from? And then in the second movement, again, you're expecting, oh, it's a violin concerto, right? So I'm going to hear the violin. No, the entire opening of the second movement is a beautiful, beautiful oboe solo, one of the most gorgeous tunes ever written. And when the violin comes on, it's just a kind of a decoration of that. So again, he's throwing curveballs and you never know what to expect. And then what you get is so miraculous that you just think, wow, why wouldn't I have thought of that? But, you know, he's a genius. So he did.
Absolutely. I was actually going to ask you about that second movement and that giant oboe solo. It's a huge moment for, you know, any orchestral oboist, and the TSO is blessed with Sarah Jeffrey. Are you looking forward to playing that with her?
Yeah, I mean, not unfortunately, we have a beautiful new associate oboist, Alex, who's going to be playing it, and he sounds spectacular. It's
okay.
His first year in the orchestra. So it's going to be a great opportunity for me to stand on stage and just listen to him. And it's such a fun thing. You get to the end of that huge first movement and then the violin gets a little bit of a break and you just get to listen to this great music. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Amazing. Now, this was written for Brahms's friend, the legendary violinist, Joseph Joachim. Will you be playing Joachim's cadenza?
I will be. It's interesting. There's a lot of good cadenzas out there. There's a beautiful one by Kreisler, and I kind of every so often I think, oh, I'm going to learn a different one, and I do, but then I always come back to the Joachim, and somehow it just fits so perfectly. And you can imagine Joachim, you know, consulting with Brahms, and Brahms of course consulted a lot with Joachim about the writing of this piece. And it just feels, maybe it's just because I've been doing it for so long and it feels natural to me, but it just feels like such a great fit with the concerto, the Joachim cadenza.
It being such an athletic piece of music overall and such a huge work, and, you know, and I've been thinking a lot about mindset as I watch the Australian Open, but I'm wondering, you know, do you have an approach sort of to mentally stay with it through this whole piece? Does it come naturally? Is there something you need to focus on? So curious.
No, it's a great question, right? And I've had teachers in different courses and stuff talk about, you know, concentration and with a the natural human mindset is only to concentrate well for about 10 minutes. And so they'll suggest, okay, well, when you're practicing, practice for 10 minutes, but then take a break because you want to regroup and come back to it fresh. And even at the time I thought, well, that's not going to work very well if you have to play a 43-minute long concerto. I don't want only the first 10 minutes to sound good. I want it all to sound good. So I think the idea of focus and concentration, I mean, that's like a muscle that you need to build up like anything else. So in the practice room, there's certain times where I'm like, okay, I need to make sure that I do run-throughs. No, regardless of what happens, make sure that I go through the entire piece. Make sure that I play the third movement after having played the first two so that I come into it not fresh and knowing what that's going to feel like. And I think the most important thing is to put yourself in performance-like situations so you know what you'll feel like, that you don't always expect to feel, oh, this is going to be easy. I've just started and it's like 10 o'clock in the morning and I just had a coffee. It's going to be fine. But that you get used to what it's going to feel like when you've been on stage and when you have to really feel like you can concentrate fully for that 43 minutes.
You'll be working with Tarmo Peltokoski. Have you ever worked with him before?
No, this is going to be his North American debut. And I'm excited. The orchestra's very excited. He's one of these kind of Finnish wunderkinds. There's a great school that has turned out so many amazing Finnish conductors. And he's one of the latest that studied with Jorma Panula. And he's supposed to be fantastic. I've seen videos of him. He's, you know, really a talented, talented young conductor.
Well, it sounds like an exciting week ahead. Very much looking forward to it. And toy, toy, toy.
Thank you so much. Looking forward to myself.
Thanks, Jonathan.